Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier. In this hour, sci-fi. Later on, we hear 2000+. But right now, another story from the future on X-1, heard on June 12, 1956 on NBC. It's the Murray Leinster tale, If You Was a Mocklin.
Countdown for blastoff. X-5, 4, 3, 2... X-minus one, fire. Far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents
X-1.
Tonight, the Murray Leinster story, If You Was a Mocklin.
Up to the last minute, I can't imagine that Mocklin is going to be the first planet that humans get off of, moving fast, breathing hard, and sweating copious. There isn't any reason for it. Everything was all quiet at the trading post. I was sitting on the front porch while Deeth, he's the Mocklin clerk. Looks a lot like a guy named Casey, used to be a wiper on the Palmyra. He comes out on the porch.
Hello, Mr. Brinkley.
Morning, Date. How's business?
Not so good. There were a few wood Mocklins in this morning.
Yeah, I saw. Kind of nice looking. Those big saucer eyes. Hey, what makes the noses wiggle like rabbits?
Well, I don't know, sir. I'm not a woods Mocklin.
Oh, sure, sir. No offense. They buy much?
No, they didn't. They said the prices were too high.
Oh.
Yeah, they said they can get the same goods at the other trading post for half price.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to run a nice little monopoly for the company with another trading post opening up at half price.
What is it, sir?
Look at that little kid playing in the mud.
You mean the Mocklin kid? It's my cousin's niece.
I can't get over those little kids with the droopy mustaches like old man Bland. I gotta laugh every time.
Well, I understand. But you see, Mocklins are getting much more human every day.
Hey, look at that. They go to trees on the landing field.
Yeah, but the relationship isn't due for a month.
I never knew those trees to get up and walk away if there wasn't a ship due in. Yeah? There goes old Sally pulling up her roots. Well, this can't be any routine ship. I wish Brooks was back from the hills.
Hey, Captain Heining, over here.
All right. Come on, let's go. Yeah, nice to see you all again. Friends, yeah, sure. Friends.
I wish those Mocklins were a little less friendly each time. It's like being a movie star.
Captain Heining.
Hey, what's that? We didn't send in a requisition for anything like that. Red hair, and everything else.
Captain?
Relax, Brinkley. That is Inspector Caldwell. She's a troubleshooter for Sam Company.
They must have finally read those reports Brooks keeps sending them.
Look out for her. Good morning, Miss Caldwell.
Inspector Caldwell, please.
This is Joe Brinkley. He's the assistant manager of the company post.
Where's Brooks?
He's up in the mountains, ma'am.
He should have been here. I'm on Mocklin to check into this matter of a competitive trading post. Who's back of it? The company is supposed to have exclusive trading rights.
Brooks is trying to find out. The Mocklins around the place always say the humans are off somewhere hunting or something. We've never seen them. Hey, take the lady's luggage.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure.
Oh, he looks a little familiar, your clerk.
He's a Mocklin. But he looks a lot like a man used to be a wiper on the Palmyra, Casey. I think he's on the Aldebaran run now.
Please. Please conduct me to the trading post.
That afternoon, Brooks come down out of the hills with a bunch of woods marklins that were guiding him. I took Inspector Caldwell over to meet him, and he gets one look at her red hair and other equipment, and he stops short.
Hey, what's this? She Marklin?
I beg your pardon?
This is Inspector Caldwell. She come in on the Palmyra today. This is Brooks, the head trader.
Well, am I glad to see you. I guess they finally read my reports in sector headquarters. You've come to check my request that the planet be abandoned?
Not at all. Marklin has great potentialities. Friendly natives. Trade should continue and increase.
But I explained.
I'm interested in is why you allowed a competitive post to be established in our exclusive territory.
My reports cover that. Haven't you read them?
Of course not. I was given a briefing on the situation here and told to correct it. Well, now, let's get to it. Do they cut prices?
50%.
Yeah, but lots of Marklins still trade with us, just our friendship. They're real friendly, these Marklins.
Now, I'd like to know just...
Excuse me, Mr. Brinkley.
What is it, Dave?
A girl just brought you a compliment.
Oh? Well, now, send her in and get a present for her.
Yes, sir.
50%. Well, if they want a trade war, we'll give it to them. We can cut prices if we have to. We have all the resources of the company behind us.
My dear Miss Caldwell, if you'd read any
Inspector
of my...
Inspector Caldwell.
Here she is, Mr. Brinkley.
Compliments, sir. Compliments.
Well, let's see him.
He's asleep.
Well, look at that. Ears like mine. The same bastion nose and everything. What do you know?
Gitchy, gitchy, gitchy.
Hey, what's your name?
Morano.
I can't remember ever seeing you before. Well, that's the way it goes. Hey, they take her in the post and give her a present.
Yeah, this way.
Thanks for the compliment. I'm greatly honored. Yeah, it's real cute, ain't it? Real human.
Human? Brinkley, you are going to be transferred out of here the instant the Palmyra gets back.
Why? You mean that girl? I'm giving her a present. What's the matter?
That's all you think about it? The callousness. You are revolting.
Miss Caldwell, I'm afraid maybe you don't exactly understand about parallel evolution here on Marklin.
I gather it's been parallel enough. That will be all on that subject, if you please. In the morning, I shall want to go and inspect that other trading post.
We set out for the trading post the next day. Brooks stayed behind on account of he was peeved that she hadn't read his report. Anyway, she was cute as a bug, and he resented anyone with a figure like that in authority over him, especially without reading his report. I tried to explain to Miss Caldwell that we just couldn't go in and rip up the opposition post.
Why not? They're poaching.
Marklins imitate humans. Now, if we start trouble, they'll start it too. Anything. Mayhem, murder, theft, bigamy.
Bigamy? You're worried about that?
Listen, Miss Caldwell, you've got to understand about Marklin evolution.
I'm not interested.
Yeah, here, wait a minute. Now, this is a nest bush, see? There's about a dozen nests on it.
Hmm?
Now, only about two of them are right. Look.
Oh, there's a bird.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Now, see, the bush grows nests for the cacklebird, and the bird, well, fertilizes around the bush. It's even staving. See, that's the way evolution works on Marklin, like we were trying to tell you.
Mr. Brinkley, I am not interested in learning about the birds and the bees on Marklin or any other planet from you. Now, let's get on to that trading post.
Naturally, when we got there, there was only a couple of Marklins hanging around. They told us the same story about the humans having gone off somewhere hunting dunderflies. When we got back to the company post, Inspector Caldwell, furious as a wet cacklebird, marched right into Brooks.
I have just ordered a price cut on all items on sale by 75%. I've also ordered unlimited credit for Marklin customers. They want a trade war over there? I'll give it to them.
But you don't understand. There's a whole planet where they could have put another trading post without being discovered.
Why put it so close to us?
That furnishes them with a ready-made market for human trade goods. And it furnished them with Mocklins trained to be interpreters and clerks. And it furnished them with a Mocklin head clerk, who is a very handsome young man, Mr. Brooks. He not only resembles you in every feature, but he even has a good many of your mannerisms. You should be very proud. Goodbye.
That's funny. Like me, huh? That's right. Spitting image. Funny as folks never brought him for a compliment present. How good's the likeness?
If he was wearing your clothes, I'd swear it was you.
Maybe. Joe, remember that time you went off hunting with Deeth and his folks?
Yeah, sure. We were after donderflies. We caught about six of them.
You were wearing Mocklin clothes, weren't you?
Oh, you know how they are. You're insulted if you don't.
Listen, did you come back after one day for a tobacco and a bath?
No. No, we were way over at Tunlib Hill. Some Mocklin got killed and we had to bury him. It took 2 days.
Well, during that week, while you were off wearing Mocklin clothes, somebody came back here wearing your clothes. He got some tobacco and went out again. He looked just like you, Joe. Exactly. Nobody suspected it wasn't you.
Why should he want to do that?
He might have been checking to see if he could fool me.
Oh, that's a situation, ain't it?
I haven't mentioned it before, but I've been guessing it's something like this. Mocklins like to be human, and they have kids that look human. Look at the difference between Deeth and a woods Mocklin. Well, maybe they can want to be smart like humans. Pretty soon they are, or their kids are. That rival trading post.
You figure there aren't any humans running it.
They're practicing with that.
You mean they might figure to get rid of us and have a couple of Mocklins take our place? I don't believe that. Mocklins like humans. They wouldn't harm humans for anything. They like to be just like them.
Listen, Joe. Miss Caldwell is the first human woman on Mocklin, isn't she?
Yeah. Why?
She's got red hair. The first woman the Mocklins see and with red hair. You know how Mocklins admire humans. With luck, it ought to turn up soon. Boy, she's going to take it hard if it does. Women hate to be wrong. But it's about our only chance. Listen, Joe, we've got to have some check between us.
What for?
Well, if there's a Mocklin that looks like me and one that looks like you, we better have a signal. Look, I'll cough twice, like this. And you whistle back. That way we'll know it's us.
Okay.
Try it. Good, good. That way we'll know we're us.
Brooks starts off the next morning to visit the other trading post and see the Mocklin that looks so much like him. Before he goes, we do our little routine. It's about 2 weeks till the Palmyra is due back. And that's pretty close figuring, waiting for what we're waiting for. I was thinking how good life was on Mocklin up to now. And that made me kind of a little sad. But it's the end, there's no doubt about it. Mocklin sure admire humans. They produce kids that look like them. You can't help liking Mocklins. But I can see what Brooks means. Mocklins loose among humans, outsmarting them as their kids grow up, just about taking over in the galaxy. When they come back from the other trading post, we went through the secret business again. In the meantime, Inspector Caldwell was busy with her trade war. She cut prices once, twice, finally 6 times, until 3 days before the Palmyra is due back, our goods were marked at exactly 1% of what they cost the month before. Brooks was getting more and more nervous. Seemed like he was falling kind of in love with a snappy little inspector. He was getting jumpy waiting for her to get her big surprise. She was making out merchandise requisitions one morning when Deeth come in smiling friendly at her.
Inspector Coleman?
Oh, what is it, Deeth?
There's a compliment for you.
What?
3 of them.
What is he talking about?
Joe, this is it. Deeth, show him in.
Now, look, I haven't got time for public relations. These inventories
Here we are.
Inspector Caldwell, 3 compliments.
Compliment, compliment, compliment.
Now, let's see him.
Very pretty, very human, no? Oh, no. No, that's impossible. No.
Very pretty. Red hair, all three of them. Red hair.
Very pretty red hair. Same as human lady. Very pretty.
All right, Deeth. Take her out and give her some presents.
This way. Come on.
But that's impossible. Those babies, three of them, they couldn't.
They do. They look exactly like you. That's what we were trying to tell you.
I've only been here a month.
Marklin babies get born real fast. They sure admire humans. It's kind of friendly when you think about it.
You mean they can make their babies look like anybody they want?
It was all in my reports. They've got a queer sort of evolution here on Marklin. Babies here inherit desired characteristics, not acquired characteristics, desired ones. And what could be more desirable than you? Red hair and all.
Oh, but I thought, I mean, you and Brinkley.
Oh. You couldn't help it, dear, really.
But I hated you. I thought that...
Now, look, darling. Joe.
Yeah?
Do me a favor, will you?
Sure, what?
Get out of here.
Oh. Okay.
And stay away for a while.
Sure, only one thing.
What?
That's... Okay. Then I'll leave you two together. About 2 days later, the Palmyra boomed down out of the sky. We were all packed up waiting on the field when the trees finished getting out of the way. I kept thinking, no matter what, Marklin sure are friendly. They sure do admire humans. I could see them crew members with Liberty heading off from the field with a whole gang of laughing, singing Marklins following each one of them. After a while, Cap Haney came over in a freight truck.
It's a pleasure, I tell you, to see these Marklins. I just came here from Welch's planet. The natives there are suspicious, unfriendly, and if you're not watching, they'll steal your gold teeth. But Marklin...
Captain Haney, don't give orders to unload your cargo.
What do you mean?
We are abandoning the post.
What?
We are leaving Marklin completely.
Sam Company pulling out when there's still a mill credit to be made? I don't believe it.
I have authority to order the move, and Mr. Brooks has convinced me of the necessity for it.
Now, Inspector, I know the company doesn't like to give in to competition.
There isn't any competition.
Well, I thought...
Miss Caldwell's right. That other trading post is purely a Marklin enterprise. They bought our goods from us and pretended to sell them at half price, and we cut our prices, so they bought more goods from us and went on. Some Marklin must have thought it'd be nice to be a smart businessman, so his kids would be smart businessmen. Too smart. We'll close up this post before the Marklins think of something else.
What? What do they think of?
If they got loose from this planet, if they can pass as humans, their kids could take over human civilization. How would you like that?
I see, yeah.
You'd better make ready to blast off, Captain.
Yeah, but I got the B section off on shore, Liberty. Men are scattered all over the place.
With Marklins?
Sure, with Marklins. You know how it is. Regular party. Fancy Marklin clothes, food, liquor.
Captain, you'd better sound the emergency recall.
Yeah, I see what you mean right away. Accounts for all but about five of them.
They're coming across the field now.
Keep that line straight for the hatch. We got to count off.
Four. Five. Yeah, they're all in line.
I'll check against the roster.
Wait a minute. There's another one coming. Look. By that tree.
There can't be. I've got 38 men lined up already. 38. That's a full count.
That's a human.
He's wearing Marklin clothes.
Yeah, it looks like Pete Werber from the engine crew.
Hey, wait. Wait for me. Wait.
Yeah, but it can't be. Werber's already checked in. There he is in line.
Wait for me.
Hey, well, where'd you come from?
I couldn't find my clothes. You see, I was in these Marklin clothes when the signal went off. I was trying to find my clothes.
Werber, look over there in the line.
Where? Hey, that's my clothes. That guy, he looks just like me. Now, what's the idea?
Hey, you! Come over here!
Yes, sir.
What's the idea?
All right, you caught me. I'm a Mocklin.
He stole my clothes.
Why did you do it? Oh, we Mocklins like humans so much, I thought it would be nice to make a trip to Earth and see more humans.
How come he looks like me?
My parents planned it 5 years ago when you came here first. They made me look like this wonderful human and hid me till now.
You'd give me back my clothes?
Well, of course. I wouldn't want to make any difficulties for humans.
He took it as a joke on him. He talked English as good as anybody. It was hard to tell which was the Mocklin and which the human guy. So we let him keep the human uniform, and he was very grateful. We took off after that, and the Mocklin stood around and laughed and waved and threw flowers as we closed the hatches. Pretty soon the Palmyra was pushing up through the atmosphere. And just before the auxiliary circuits went on during the jump to overdrive, we all stood around in the astrogator's dome with a screen turned up to high mag and watched as Mocklin faded into a round cantaloupe behind us.
It's a shame. Sure was a pretty planet. Real friendly.
Too friendly. I still have the shivers, thinking we almost took a Mocklin off with us.
The other crew had been on Mocklin long enough to have a double. 5 years is a safety margin. Takes them that long to grow up.
We were lucky, huh, Joe?
Huh? What?
I said we were lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. We sure are. I guess I was the only one who felt a little different from the others about leaving Mocklin. I mean, Mocklin's a swell folks, and it seemed a shame. There'd be an order out that no human ship is allowed to land on Mocklin. But I was thinking, I'll save my money, and those compliments, those three little kids that look just like Inspector Caldwell, in about 5 years, they'll be grown. Now buy me a little private ship and shove off for Mocklin again. And I'll pick me one of those three red-headed gals and marry her Mocklin style. And bring her out to a human colony planet. We'll have kids with brains. Top-level brains. That's easy. If she wants it, that's the way the kids will be born. And I'll have to bring other Mocklins out, too, and start them passing for humans. My kids are going to need other Mocklins to marry, aren't they? It's not that I don't like humans. I do. If the fellow I look like, Joe Brinkley, hadn't gotten killed accidental on that hunting trip, I never would have thought of taking his place and being Joe Brinkley. That's what I was thinking when Brooks suddenly got an idea.
Wait a minute. Joe, you and I were on Mocklin more than 5 years.
Yeah? So?
One thing. And everything's all right.
I mean, you can't blame me for wanting to live among humans, can you? Wouldn't you, if you was a Mocklin?
You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features another fascinating For Your Information column written by Willie Ley.
X-1 on Tuned 2 yesterday from June 12, 1956 on NBC. That would mark the third of four stories. Author Murray Leinster contributed to the show. His final story, Sam, This Is You, was about a telephone repairman who received a call from himself from the future. It's an hour of science fiction on Tuned 2 yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And now 2,000 plus with the story, The Robot Killer. This Mutual Broadcasting System episode first heard on August 30th, 1950.
All the time that I was alone, I thought of what I would do, if only I dared. And then I saw the robots.
2,000 plus. Science fiction adventures in the world of tomorrow. The years beyond 2000 A.D. 2,000 plus presents The Robot Killer.
Mr. Samuel Donaldson.
Yes, sir. Happy Sam, they call me.
Yes, I know. I have friends who think your television program is very funny. I do not.
That's a living, Professor Strager. Now, may I see the mechanical man I'm giving away as the jackpot prize on my show next week?
It is not a mechanical man, Mr. Donaldson. The correct word is robot. R-O-B-O-T.
I know.
This robot is a supreme achievement of our electronics division. We've worked on it for 6 years. We'll do whatever it is instructed to do. I simply do not understand how the management of this corporation can think of giving it away to this public, this magnificent mechanism.
Oh, look, Professor. This corporation sponsors my TV show. We're on 1,246 stations. We're telecast in three-dimensional color. And the Happy Sam show is the number two favorite in the country. The sponsor thinks it would be a good advertising gimmick to offer a super jackpot prize, a mechanical man, a robot. And I never argue with a sponsor. Now, please, may I see what I've come to see?
All right, young man, I have no choice. Come along. There it is. Experimental robot 23.
Brother. He's really something, Professor. 6 feet tall. Shiny metal. Flexible fingers. How does he work?
Very simply. His electronic controls respond to ultra-high frequency waves which emanate from this microphone box. Speak in a microphone. The robot will do whatever you order him to.
Anything?
Virtually. Robot 23 has an electronic brain. Try for yourself, here.
Okay. Sing Sweet Aline.
Really, Mr. Donaldson, what a ridiculous request. Think the best scientific brains in the country work for 6 years for a robot?
Sweet Aline. Will you be mine?
Why, it really tried to sing.
He's very clever, Professor. Hey, watch this. Pick up that broom in the corner and sweep the floor. Oh, boy, the housewives who watch my program will love this. What? I'll be darned. Look at there. He's doing it. He's doning it. Okay, stop sweeping. What a gadget. What a giveaway. Now, I see something for the kitties, and I'll... Hey, what is that?
That kitten is the pet of Dr. Broderick of the physics laboratory, and I assure you, you cannot give that away.
I don't want to give the kitten away. I just want a little heartthrob on the show for the youngsters. Here, kitty. Come here, kitty. Kitty. Come here, kitty. Now, kitty. Now, down the floor you go. Now, down the floor. Go ahead. And we'll show how gentle and friendly our jackpot prize robot is with pets. Now, give me the mic.
Mr. Donaldson, what are you going to do now?
Okay, Robot 23. Go over to the kitten. Pick it up. And pet the kitty. Nice kitty. Look at that. Isn't that sweet? Boy, what a camera shot on the air. Hey, what's he doing?
Robot 23, drop the kitten. Drop the kitten.
Drop kitten.
Oh, poor Tabby.
Why, he killed a kitten. Broke its neck.
He tried to pet it, and he killed it. Well, you see what comes when fools play with science. No good will come of giving this robot away to the public. I warn you, no good will come of it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, this is Happy Sam the Happy Man, welcoming you to another half hour of mirth and melody. Boys, how about a fanfare? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Now, you know that every week for the past 4 weeks, our grand super jackpot has been growing and growing. At this moment, these are the sensational prizes in that jackpot. A free rocket plane trip for two to Paris, flying in the new 150-passenger luxury rocket cruiser at 60,000 feet, only 3 hours and 10 minutes from New York to Paris. A K-atomic-powered sports roadster, the automobile that never needs gas or oil. It runs almost forever. A Krylon man suit tailored to your measure. Krylon is the wonder fabric guaranteed to last 100 years. And with this suit, a special set of 14 different Krylon chemical colors. Dip that suit in the color you prefer. Wear it, then change the color with another rinse. The suit is always pressed, always perfect. 14 suits in one. A complete wardrobe on your back. And the one thing money cannot buy, more money. Yes, $10,000 cash. Now, those are our jackpot prizes. And now tonight, we add one more prize. A prize so fantastic and wonderful, nothing like it has ever been offered to a lucky winner before. This prize is a supreme achievement of modern science. It is an entire retinue of servants in one amazing machine. It is a slave to your every command. And here it is, Michael the Mechanical Man. Thank you, thank you. And now to determine who wins this giant jackpot and who wins this mechanical marvel, Michael the Mechanical Man, 1,000 slaves in one amazing machine. Now, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, each and every one of you millions of people watching this program on your visit screens are receiving this program via microwave. And now, our computators are in action. They are channeling every microwave reception on this program. When the spinner disc stops, if your television set is on, if you're the lucky person, you win the jackpot. Wait now, wait. The computator has finished. The end-air signals that the spinner disc is slowing down. And we have a winner tonight. We picked up a set who had us tuned in. Our pretty model is walking across the stage with a name. Thank you, honey. And now, here it is, the name you've all been waiting to hear. 423 North Glencoe Boulevard, in Martin Hills, New York, apartment 5B, Mr. John Hanold. Mr. John Hanold.
Sit down, Mr. Hanold. My practiced medical eye, judging from the smile on your face, tells me that you're pretty happy that Mrs. Hanold is being released from the hospital today.
Oh, it's not only that, Doctor. Don't tell me you haven't heard of my other good piece of luck. Everyone in town's been calling me for hours before I left for the hospital.
Another good piece of luck? No, I haven't heard.
Why, I won some fabulous prizes on the giveaway show, including $10,000.
Oh?
That means your bill's going to be paid. And I also got a trip to Paris and a mechanical man and Lord knows what.
That's wonderful. I congratulate you. However, I think I would forget that trip to Paris for a while.
What?
In fact, wait a few hours before telling Mrs. Hanold about your good fortune.
Oh, what, Doctor?
Mr. Hanold, after your wife's illness, she suffered a nervous breakdown. She became mentally unstable, but she's pretty good now, thanks to what the hospital has done. However, when you take her home, she must feel she's returning to her normal life. And winning $10,000 prizes isn't very normal.
Oh, I see.
The main thing we want to avoid is a relapse. Mm-hmm. She should have a few neighbors who can drop in and see her now and then.
Well, there's Miss Barton, Virginia Barton. She lives in the apartment next to us on our floor.
Oh, yes, yes. Your wife mentioned her occasionally. Do they get along all right?
I think so. Why?
Nothing. I just wondered. Well, Mrs. Hanold's waiting for you. I know you're very anxious to get her home. Nurse, have Mrs. Hanold come in, please. I think in another month or so she'll be fine. Oh, here she is now. Hello, Mrs. Hanold.
Mary, darling, am I glad to see you.
Hello, John. Hello, Doctor.
What did I tell you? Doesn't she look fine?
Oh, she certainly does.
John, how good it is he going home. I'm as excited as a schoolgirl.
Well, now don't get too excited. You've got to take it easy for a while.
Is that what the doctor says? He's such a worry bird.
You do what your husband says, Mrs. Hanold, and you'll just be fine.
See? Doctor's orders.
I promise. Thank you, Doctor. You'll be very kind.
I'll drop in from time to time to see you. Well, goodbye, Mrs. Hanold.
Goodbye, Doctor. All right, dear, let's go. Let's go.
Thank you.
can hardly believe it.
Well, the doctor told me to wait until you got home before telling you.
$10,000.
And the trip to Paris. Think of it. Oh, I hope we can take it in the summer during my vacation.
And a mechanical lathe, John. Where will we put it?
Now, wait, honey. You're not supposed to get excited. Oh, my boy, who can help it?
The crazy things they give away.
Oh, I'll see who it is.
Hello, John.
Oh, hello, Virginia.
Who is it, darling?
Why, it's Virginia.
Mary, I just had to come and tell you how wonderful it is. Your being back and those wonderful prizes.
It was very nice of you to come in, Virginia. And thank you for the supper you prepared for my homecoming.
I was delighted to, darling. When John asked me...
John asked you to?
Well, yes, he was so happy you were coming back. But John doesn't Mary's being home call for a celebration. Can't we have a drink?
Well, I don't know, Virginia. Mary's supposed to get rest. Still, well, I suppose one sip won't hurt. But I'll have to go out and get something, though. I'll be right back.
Darling, when you get your prizes, I'll have cause to be jealous of you. Cigarette?
No, thanks. Jealous? Why?
Well, you'll have two men, John and the Robert. Poor little me, a bachelor gal all alone. You know, I really think you ought to give me one of them.
Which one would you like to have?
Darling, what a silly question. The mechanical man, of course. He doesn't drop ashes on the rugs. He'll wash the dishes and put out the cat. He'll never argue.
You're lying to me. Why, Mary, you're serious. What did you expect me to be?
I don't understand.
But I do. In the hospital, I began to understand a lot of things. I know the doctors thought something happened to my mind. But all that happened was that it became very clear, very sharp. And for the first time, I began to think clearly.
Darling, I think this excitement's been too much for you. I shouldn't have come in.
Because I was here? Is that why you shouldn't have come in?
You're wrong, Mary. Everything you're thinking is wrong.
John would come to the hospital only once a day.
But he was working.
Some days he wouldn't come at all.
Mary, you know he has to go out of town on business
John,
once
no.
in a while.
I know many things. I would lie in my hospital bed and the shadows would whisper to me. They would say, "Where is John now? While you lie in an antiseptic bed in a hospital room that is as cold as a surgeon's knife, cutting your memories to pieces."
You frightened me.
Don't go. John will be back in a moment.
I have a headache. I've got to go.
But what will John say when you're not here?
You poor darling.
You poor sick Mary. Yes, walk out on me, Virginia. Leave me alone. That I'm not alone as I was in the hospital. I'm home now, my home. And I'm near you. Near enough to kill you. If only I could think of how to do it.
Robert's quite a guy, isn't he?
He looks something like the Tin Woodman of Oz I used to read about.
Well, I doubt so that he can do any of the things they said on that program. Now, well, my guess is we'll have to sell him for junk or give him away to some kids. Well, let's see. The directions say, turn on the racket switch for power, and then just talk into the microphone. Use simple phrases and precise instructions. Well, what shall I tell him to do? He's your boyfriend.
Tell him to move the green chair about 2 feet back in the corner.
Okay. Move green chair back 2 feet into corner.
John, he's walking.
That's the darndest thing I ever saw. Well, you did it. He's going to be all right.
John, does he have a name?
A name? Don't be silly.
He must have a name. He's almost like a person.
He talked to. What is your name? Your name. Do you have a name? I see. You can't talk.
Don't ask him a question. Tell him to tell you. Do as the direction says.
Tell me your name.
Experimental Robot 23.
Robot 23.
Kind of gives me the creeps.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Well, now what I do? He can't stand there staring at us. There's nothing for him to do around here.
The poker, that steel poker in the fireplace.
What about it?
He looks so strong. Tell him to bend it.
Bend it? Oh, Mary, that's solid steel. He's just a tin toy with electronic nerve.
Please, John, tell him.
But, honey, he'll probably get a short circuit or something, straining himself. Then we will have to junk him. Oh, all right. Bend poker there. Bend steel poker. I see, just picked it up. But nothing's happening. Bend it. Bend it. You see, I told... Good Lord.
Oh, he's bending the steel as if it were taffy.
And did you see that? Why, it's almost as if he threw it down, disdaining of showing off.
Why did you turn him off?
He's dangerous, Mary. Dangerous and frightening. I'm going to dismantle...
No.
Now, wait, don't get so excited about it. You know what the doctor said.
Don't dismantle him, John, please.
All right. You insist. But remember, Mary, you're not to give him any orders except when I'm home.
Darling, I wouldn't do anything that wouldn't be right for me.
Almost 4 hours until John comes home. Lock the door. And now to make him come to life again. Speak to me. Say to me, hello, Mary.
Hello, Mary.
Hello, Robert 23. How nice of you to visit me. Every day you visit me. Why do you do that, tell me? Because I love you.
Because I love you.
Because you love me. Oh, Robert 23, how handsome and strong you are. And you are mine. You do what I want you to do. You are my slave. Say to me, I am your slave.
I am your slave.
That vase that Virginia gave me last year, there, the blue one. Destroy that vase. Thank you, Robert 23, very much. Of all the things in the world I have, you are the most wonderful. Because you love me and obey me and would do anything for me. Anything. Oh, the door, someone there. It can't be John. It's much too early for John. I'll see who it is, and you will wait for me. Wait, as you always do.
You.
Hello, Mary. I'm sorry to disturb you.
What do you want?
This package was delivered to my door. Something you probably ordered by phone. It's marked 5D, but your name's on it. Should have said 5B.
Yes, from the grocery.
Oh, is that the mechanical man standing in the living room?
That is Robert 23.
Does he really work? He's awfully big and clumsy looking.
He's come to visit me. He's mine. He doesn't love you. Doesn't love...
Of course not, Mary. Of course not. I'm sorry to have disturbed you. Is there anything I can do for you?
No, nothing. Go away. You saw her, didn't you? Say, yes, I saw her.
Yes, I saw her.
She's the one I hate. And John, John is the one I love. And you love me. Say, I love you.
I love you.
You must destroy her the way we destroyed the vase. Now that you've seen her, you know my secret. And you will kill her for me because you are my slave. Say, I will kill her.
I will kill her.
John,
This is Virginia.
Oh, hello, Virginia. This is a pleasant surprise. Why are you calling me?
It's about Mary.
Mary? Well, something happened? What is it?
I rang your doorbell a few minutes ago. One of Mary's packages had been delivered to me by mistake. She came to the door.
Yes?
She acted very strangely, particularly when I asked about the mechanical man, the robot.
Well, what do you mean, Virginia, strangely?
She wouldn't let me come in and look at him. She said he didn't love me.
What?
She was in a strange mental state. John, are you sure she's all right?
Virginia, listen, the robot wasn't moving or doing anything, was it?
Not that I could notice. But Mary's attitude and her odd remarks...
I knew I shouldn't have accepted that tin monster. Well, I'll get home as soon as I can, Virginia. Thanks for calling. Dr. Rosenblatt, this is John Hanold.
Oh, yes, Mr. Hanold.
A neighbor just called me. Mary's acting strangely. I'm worried.
I don't understand, Mr. Hanold.
Well, we won some prizes on a TV show a few days ago, and one of them was a mechanical man, a robot.
Oh, yes, you told me about it.
Well, the robot, in my opinion, is a dangerous gadget. Well, anyway, one of the neighbors reported that Mary is talking strangely about it. I wonder if you could meet me at the apartment. It'll take me about half an hour to get there.
Mr. Hanold, I hope you'll forgive me, but you've got to expect that neighbors with all the goodwill in the world tend to exaggerate the actions of the people whom they've known to have been mentally ill. I'm sure there's nothing to be alarmed about.
Yes, but Doctor, this neighbor is a good friend and an intelligent woman.
Well, I've had a lot of experience in these matters, Mr. Hanold. However, to ease your mind, I'll try to drop over sometime this evening or in the morning. We'll have a talk about it. I'm in a meeting now.
Well, all right, Doctor, if you say so. Thanks very much.
Hello?
Oh, Virginia, this is John.
Yes, John.
I just spoke to the doctor. He thinks there's nothing to worry about, but... Well, I wonder if you'd do me a great favor.
Of course, John. What is it?
I've got a few things here to clean up at the desk, so I can't get home right away. I wonder if you'd go in and stay with Mary until I get there.
But, John, Frankly, I'm a little frightened.
Why, that's silly, Virginia. After all, what can happen?
The door. Wait, Robot 23, and I'll come back to you. Say, I will wait for you.
I will wait for you.
Thank you. Thank you, darling. Mary, I wonder if I could visit with you for a while.
Why? Why do you want to visit with me?
Why, darling, I'm your neighbor. And I thought it would be very nice if we had tea. Don't you want me to come in, Mary?
Yes. Yes, I do want you to come in. Come in and meet Robot 23.
Mary, he's moved since I saw him last. He was standing by the fireplace when I was at the door before. And now he's by the sofa. Oh, darling, that lovely vase I gave you and John. It's broken. Broken in a million pieces.
I had him do it. He did it. He did it.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean. You and your lies and your deceit.
Mary, what are you doing? Why are you picking up that microphone?
Robot 23 loves me as I love John. And you won't destroy my love. You won't. Robot 23, don't you? Kill her. Kill her.
Mary. Mary.
No. No.
Virginia, please, please stop crying. Good heavens, what happened?
Mary.
Excuse me, Mr. Hanold, but I think I can tell you what happened. I'm Professor Strager, one of the men who built that robot. I came to your apartment hoping to persuade you to return the robot. I heard a dreadful commotion inside. Called this patrolman in the corner, and we forced our way in here. The robot was moving towards this young lady here.
I tried to get away. Wherever I went, it came after
me. I shut off the control box and stopped the robot.
Mary wanted to kill me, John. Kill me.
Doctor, how's Mary? Is she all right?
I've given her sedatives, Mr. Hammond. I'll take her back to the hospital in a few hours. All of this excitement. However, I'm sure she'll be all right in another month or two.
But she tried to kill me. She tried to kill me.
For some reason, she was jealous of you. But now that we know her obsession, we can treat it psychiatrically.
And she'll be all right, Doctor. She won't try to kill again. When I think what might have happened to Virginia...
Mr. Hanold, nothing would have happened. You see, your wife told the robot to kill, but that was not an instruction the robot could carry out.
What do you mean, Professor? You said yourself the robot was going toward Virginia.
Yes, of course, because your wife said go to her. A simple physical action the robot is capable of performing due to its directional mechanism. However, the command kill is not sufficiently explicit. The robot cannot kill in general. It must have step-by-step instructions as to how the command is to be carried out. You see, Mr. Hanold, I might put it this way. To strike out blindly, to kill without thinking, requires an emotional drive, the capacity to hate. And that the robot cannot do. It is, after all, a machine, not a human being.
+2000 on Tuned to Yesterday from August 30th, 1950 on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Bringing to a close this hour of sci-fi on Tuned to Yesterday, be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.